Can you see my head? Yeah, just now I made a joke. I told Christian, can you stand beside me? In case I faint, you just continue my testimony. Anyway, it's scripted. Finally, this time has come. It's really agonizing hearing my name every Sunday called up by Pastor Paul. Honestly, when Pastor Paul asked Christian to give my testimony, I was alarmed, or rather troubled, as best described. Two nights I couldn't sleep, thanks to Pastor Paul. Frankly speaking, I struggled. 2 weeks had passed. I was kind of like bargaining to God. I asked him whether I could just omit some of my testimony. Please bear with me. You'll hear broken English. Yeah, we don't use it daily. So I tried to bargain to God whether I could just omit some of my testimony. And then the impression that he has given me was, if you don't do that, your testimony will not be complete. And where is my glory in your testimony? So I hardened my heart, actually, insisting what I want, as I tried to start holding a pen and a paper. Believe me, my mind was completely empty. I couldn't even remember my past, trying to reminisce my childhood, things like that. So I waited for a few minutes, really nothing came up. It's totally empty. And I was like, come on, work, let's do this. The time is coming. I really want to prepare. Empty, nothing, really nothing. It's totally empty. I couldn't remember everything. So I just went to sleep. Then second attempt, same thing. What I did, I took a pen and a paper. So I was sitting there, staring on the wall, blankly, again empty. Yeah, I really, it's empty, because I was trying to insist, Lord, I want to do it on my own. I do not want them to know, because I knew you have forgiven me. What for you're bringing me into shame by testifying to what that you transformed me? But I do not want to go back to that past, because it's not nice, actually, to go back to that past. So this week, before my testimony, I was too worried. I have done nothing at all. I said, God, I surrender and willing to obey. So you know what? Things started to come up. Even at the workplace, when I sat down, he pops up everything, all the past coming to my mind once, and then I write it down. Oh, I did this, Lord, sorry. Oh, I've done that. Oh, how embarrassing. And even in the middle of the night, I have to stood up, and he woke me up. I wrote down, oh, this thing, I did this. Oh, yes, sorry, this is my past. So terrible. I was remembering my past is so terrible. How terrible I was. Then I started doing my testimony each time, this week only, each time I woke up, 3 days in a row, early in the morning, since I couldn't do it at night. I have to bring Asia in bed to sleep. So 3 days in a row, I woke up early in the morning. Same thing, Asia also woke up in the morning together with me. She saw me holding a paper and a pen, and then she will distract me and get my paper instead, and asked me to draw pigs and dogs. So nothing. So 2 days, Thursday and Friday, I praise Jesus because I finally done my testimony. So I thank Jesus for this privilege to share my testimony of how an ordinary person like me receive an extraordinary grace from the Lord. During my childhood, as a little bit of background, my parents and my grandparents were all from Catholic, were a devoted Catholic. And then I usually saw my mother, my late mother, Each time she woke up, each time she sleep and woke up in the morning, she will always kneel down to pray the rosary in front of the statue of Mother Mary. So it inspires me. During my childhood, I learned how to pray the rosary. Most of you knows the rosary. I believe mostly all of us here came from a Catholic background. So that is the rosary. It inspires me to pray that rosary. I actually master that, memorize all the mysteries, and at the end of it, we usually called up all the names of the saints to pray for us. I mean, they were dead, but we pray for them to pray for us, you know? And then, you know, it's the rosary is like a repetitive prayer. It like will not bring you to nowhere, just go round and round. It's just a repetitive and a recital prayer, actually. So most of us knows that, right? And so at the peak of my devotedness to Mother Mary, I dream about her. As I lean in the window, open window in our house, looking up, I saw a Mother Mary. She was so beautiful and wearing a sparkling a crown. And on her left hand, she was carrying with her the baby Jesus, the humbled one. And on her right hand, she was carrying a rosary. Then I woke up and I told my father about that. Then my father said, maybe she wants you to pray more rosary. Okay, I did twice already. Morning and night, I pray the rosary. And then, you see, we have this mediator. Mary became our mediator. We have actually lots of mediator, Mother Mary. And then, even angels. When we were young, when I was a child, in fact, I was taught to pray like, I think most of you knows this, like, angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom his love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to light and guard, to rule and guide. So when I became a Christian, I learned to know that this light that we're praying is actually not the angel. It is Jesus. It is stated in John chapter 8, verse 12. It says there, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see, Jesus is our light, not the angel. Okay, so we pray. We also pray for the saints. Yeah, as what I have mentioned, after the rosary, we called up all the names of the saints to ask for, to pray for us, actually. And then also the priest became our mediator. We confess as Catholic. We do confession every day. And after that, Monday, as it was in the beginning, sin again. Then Sunday, back again to the priest, confess our sins. So believing that the priest, as we pray, I do not know how he calculate our sins, and then he give us this prayer to pray to redeem our sins, for our sins to be forgiven. I really don't understand. He will give us like, okay, you prayed Apostles' Creed, five Apostles' Creed. Apostles' Creed, and then five Our Father, and then maybe 10 Hail Mary, then your sins were forgiven. Okay, go. And then back again, next Sunday, confess again, and then give you how many Our Father, I don't know. And then the following day, I have another dream. This time is a black Nazarene. See, I'm in the peak of my devotedness during that time in my childhood. Most of you also knows, I think, about the black Nazarene. It's a black Jesus, like that. Yeah. Now, this made me curious, actually. Is Jesus black or white? I don't know. Okay, in a way, it's Jesus. We believe in all. We have all these idols, many kinds of replica, actually, of Jesus, like that. And also for the baby Jesus, we have all this at home, actually. We have the baby Jesus when they grow up, and then suddenly like that, became black, I don't know. And then my third prayer, my third, on the following day, I dream again. And this dream, I was standing on the in front of the roads, like, you know, like a tree, got many branches. Exactly like that, the tree. I was stood up below there, and I do not know where to go. It's so many roads, big and small. And then as I move forward, I saw a sign there. The sign says, "To Jesus." This time the prayer is like less drama. I said, just a normal one. That arrow I followed with, it says, "To Jesus." Okay, so all of them, we have many mediator. After that, when I became Christian, I found out in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." So my prayer, the last dream I had, actually, it shows me the right way, which is Jesus. So that's another scene I do not know, because for Catholic, as Catholic, we're not encouraged to read the Bible. We knew the Bible, but we're not encouraged to read the Bible. In short, we are lack of knowledge of the Word of God. So we believe in the beliefs and traditions as what Catholic taught us. So when I graduated from high school, I was thankful for my late auntie, my father's side, who brought me to Iloilo and support me in my studies. And I grabbed that opportunity. My goal is to finish study and eventually get a job, because all I want is to help my parents. And we're all seven siblings. I got six siblings who were younger than me. So my goal is really to finish my study, eventually graduate, eventually find a job and help them. And in October 1999, well, almost 20 years, working with Tita Mila. Yeah, so the door of opportunity opened up, and I quickly grabbed it, learned to become more independent, learned to stand and decide on my own. To sum it up, I have a total freedom. Yeah, the very first time, 3 months after I came to Singapore, my mother passed away. The very first time I called on to Jesus, I blame him for taking my mother's life. And on her casket, I promised to pray a rosary for my mother. You know, this is the belief of Catholic. When we die, most likely we do not go to heaven. That's the belief. And less likely we will go to hell. And most probably we all go to purgatory. Yeah, purgatory. We will never make to heaven, but all of us will go to purgatory. That's the belief. So in purgatory, so in my lack of knowledge about the Word of God, I pray the rosary day and night for my mother, believing that if she's in the purgatory now, she has a chance to go to heaven. Because we were taught as young in a Catholic, we have to devote ourselves in praying the rosary. So when we die, we will enjoy the merits together with the saints in paradise. That's the belief of Catholic. So I blame Jesus. That's the very first time I remember I called upon him. I blame him. So just in order for us to get into heaven, one way also is to do good works. Do good works, just do good works to outweigh our sins, and surely we will go to heaven. That's a strong belief, and even now I believe still being practiced in Catholic. But now I've discovered in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. This I fall into sin, lack of knowledge again." So when I came to Singapore, I managed to find a Catholic church where I went to every Sunday. And after going to the mass, I would go straight to disco bar. Yeah, in the midday, together with my cousins and few of my friends. So I became addicted to disco, that sometimes I will sneak out. Yeah. Then I met a guy. I thought he was my forever. My first boyfriend, actually. During the first year in relationship, my affection became deeper, and I thought that being in love includes giving up everything, including your body, without thinking any cost. I became pregnant. I don't know what to do. Spoke to the guy, and he said he's not ready for this. And just do what I needed to do. I was full of angry and disappointments, and I split up with him. I seek comfort and advice from the ungodly people and came up to solution. Since it's legal in Singapore, I aborted the child. This is difficult. Since then, I carried the guilt, the shame, the pain in my heart and became a bitter person. And I swear not to engage in any relationship anymore. I stopped going to disco to cover up my sins. As Catholic, I did many countless good works, known and unknown, believing it might redeem me from my sins, and eventually I will still get into heaven somehow. But days pass, the burden is getting heavier and heavier, and seems like eating me little by little. Not a single day I'm at peace to what I did. In 2006, I was sent to Dubai to work, same company I work here. I quickly find a Catholic church where I serve. I was busy participating in all events in church, did good works again. And during Friday afternoon, it's like Sunday here in Singapore, because in Arab country, Friday is actually the Sunday here. So I joined in Filipino fellowship. We sang, we praised, and again, worship Mother Mary's statue. We have this big statue of Mother Mary. I think I'm just bigger a little bit. Yeah, in front of that, this kind of room. And then all of us, we sang in worship Mother Mary. We off the light, and all of us, like, screaming and all this thing. Yeah. And I joined there, and when I became Christian, I discovered again in Exodus chapter 20, verse 4, says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." This I fall into sin again. I struggled when Tita Mila asked me to go back to Singapore. The company, because we need to close down the company, actually, as we are also affected with the recession in Middle East. I cried hard to God. This time, this is the second time I called on to God and begging him to bring me back to Singapore. I beg God, actually, to bring me back. I beg God not to bring me back to Singapore. Sorry. So, defeated, the decision was final. This time, I asked God, if he removed me from Dubai, make sure that I could find a church where I can continually serve him. In 2008, I came back to Singapore. 2 years attending in Christian church, I keep hearing the word of God, but I choose to close my heart. For me, as Catholic is the only true religion that can save me. That time when Tita Mila started going to church, Christian church too, there are times when she called early in the morning Like, sometimes she will say, okay, in 10 minutes I'll be there. Huh? 10 minutes? We're still in bed. Like, we have to rush. Yeah, and then sometimes I make a joke to my cousins and I will ask them, shall we go or shall we go? And then the answer, I choose the last one. We better go. So we all went. After church service, I would run away and find a Catholic church. In fact, I did some research and list down all the Catholic churches in Singapore. So in case if I miss out the other Catholic, I mean the Tagalog Mass, at least there's another choices to find, to get into other church to have that Tagalog Mass. But after church, I would run away. So I do not like mingling with the Christians. Uneasy, frankly speaking. So I was not a Christian. So difficult for me to mingle with them. One day in that Christian church, a pastor was standing in the pulpit. After the preaching, he invited those who wants to get baptized on the following week to come in front so he could pray for us. When I was... sorry, I lost. So he could pray. So when he said that you just come in front to those who are willing to get baptized, just please come in front so we could pray for you. In my thought, I was sitting behind the, you know, I'm the, from behind. I like to sit behind, actually. I do not like to get noticed. So I will sit behind. And then I reasoned out. What for? I asked in my mind, what for to get baptized? When I was baptized when I was a baby in Catholic, and as my father line, I also used this. I used to, what? I asked myself. I reasoned out in my mind. I said, "What is he talking about? Getting baptized? I already baptized when I was a baby, when I was a Christian, and when I was a Catholic. And I will die as Catholic, period. That's it. That's my belief." Then the next question is, he asks, "Are you saved?" I reason out in my thought. I said, "Well, I've done good works. In fact, many good works. And I think that's good enough for me to get saved." The third time he asked, he said, "Are you tired and heavy laden?" Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I burst out to cry. The word that came out of my mouth was, "Jesus, I'm tired. I need rest. I need you." It echoed deep into my soul. Each step I made moving towards the pulpit, as if he is pulling one by one from me, the pain in my heart, my guilt, my shame, my disappointment. When I reached the pulpit, I almost faint. I felt I was totally emptied from my past. I surrendered and received Jesus in my heart as my Lord and my Savior on that day. I get this promise in his promises in this scripture, says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." And in Psalm 103, verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us." I have experienced great love, real joy, forgiveness, and amazing grace at that moment. After I got baptized, I became tears and hunger in the Word of God. I started reading the Bible, meditate on it, and share the Word of God to my family who are not a Christian. I keep praying until now for me how happy it is to reach eternity in heaven with my loved ones. So I prayed for their salvation too. A year after, my youngest sister became the follower of Christ and I believe she too has her own testimony that that my my joy was overflow. My journey does not end after I received Jesus. Something had happened after I got baptized. My cousins and my colleague from work went out for a movie night. Some of you may know the movie called Emily Rose. Did you hear that? It's a true story of exorcism. The girl was possessed by six demons. After watching that movie, I was haunted that even in the middle of the night, I have to wake up repeatedly, and I feel the presence of the evil spirits that surrounds me. They wanted to get into my body. Even in my prayer time, they were there to interrupt. I experienced once when I kneeling down, praying. What the evil spirit? I don't know. It's something weird. For those who do not believe, I don't force you to believe. I experienced when I lay down, when I kneel down to pray, I can feel from my behind, from my back, on my feet, the cuckoo, the claws of that. I think the evil spirit, so sharp, did it to my feet. I just ignore it. I just ignore, but deep inside in me, I'm so scared, really scared. So he's a time to, they wanted to get into my body. Even my prayer time, they were there to interrupt. Fears got rooted. Eventually, I became emotionally depressed for a couple of years. So I just kept it on myself for a couple of years. That long, I struggled. All the more, I kept it to myself. It's a time to share what I'm going through, thinking that I scare my cousins who were staying with me, or they may laugh and think that I'm crazy or maybe weird. I shared no one and trust God instead. I held on to his promises. In Isaiah 41, verse 10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." I was relieved momentarily. And in one weekend, alone in the house, I found myself standing in the balcony on the ninth floor, story building, looking down. The voice whispered into my ears, telling me to jump, so that when I die, fears will be gone too, and suffering will end. Suddenly, the picture of Jesus flashes in my mind. He was led by the devil in the highest place. I was reminded in scripture, Luke chapter 4, verse 9. It says, "And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him in a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence." I ran back to my room, begging God to help me overcome my unbearable fear. I occupied myself in reading the Bible. I came to ask the Lord that if he was able to communicate with the people long ago, will it be happening again to me? And that way I could get my answer immediately. The devil had put a doubt in my mind. Although I have surrendered my life to Jesus, I was not fully convinced of my salvation, and I needed assurance. One day when we had our company devotion, a pastor out of the blue, he said we are going to tackle about spiritual warfare. As a baby Christian, I do not know about all this. I didn't know about this spiritual warfare. I was curious, so I researched, realizing what I'm going through. And that night itself, I had a dream. I was surrounded by many evil spirits. Each one wanted to get into my body. I was trembled and shaky, that kind of fear killing me. I shouted to the Lord for help, and suddenly the voice started to speak calmly, saying, "Why are you afraid? You are saved and covered by the blood of Christ, and I have given you authority. Why are you afraid?" At that very moment, there was a total peace and stillness that I couldn't explain until now. I can still remember vividly each word that was spoken during that night. Everything I need to know, God answered. in vivid clarity. The voice that I heard in my dreams gave me assurance of my salvation, which is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And lastly, he took that fear away from me. Truly, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, as mentioned in Psalm 46:1. Today, I am still humbled and privileged for the love of God has preserved my life. He blessed me a husband who brought me more closer to him. So, a little bit of advice for all singles. You have to pray, ask God to give you a guy who will bring you more closer to the Lord. For single guys, don't look for a guy. Look for a woman who will bring you closer to the Lord. I remember when I asked God to give me a partner in life, all I ask is to give me a man like David who is after God's own heart. And here is this guy serving God faithfully from his youth until now, came to Singapore and of course found me. Yeah, not only that, God blesses us with two little children who breaks the silence, especially during midnight. So back to my dream during my childhood, standing on the road with an arrow sign to Jesus. I fully understood that no matter where I go, I should only follow Jesus and no other roads that will lead me to everlasting life but through Jesus alone. I give God all the praises, glory, and honor that is due unto his holy name through his precious Son, Jesus Christ. May God bless us all.
We thank Verna for that testimony, for the glory of God. I asked her before, how many hours is she going to speak? She said, just a short time, you have to finish off for me. So I'm just giving me 2 minutes and then I'll be through. Just turn to Luke's Gospel chapter 23 and reminded what Ferner was saying, reminded me of this passage of the story of the cross. You remember the story where there were three crosses? Jesus Christ on one cross, and on one side was a thief, and on the other side was another thief. And one of the thieves continued to blaspheme the Lord Jesus Christ and reject him. But the other thief, God began to work on his heart. And he rebuked the scoffer and the mocker. And he says, dost thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? You're facing death, and you're being judged for your sins with this crucifixion. Why are you not afraid to meet God? And it says in verse 41, we indeed justly, we deserve what we're getting, this punishment, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss, done nothing wrong, Jesus Christ. And this is the verse coming up, verse 41, that I want to finish. And Jesus, he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The word remember means forgive me, think upon me. Remember, I'm a sinner. And what does Jesus reply to him? I'm sure the words are very familiar to you. Verily I say unto you, the word verily means truly, absolutely. I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. We heard in Ferna's testimony about this place called purgatory. It's not mentioned in the Bible. In fact, this thief that trusted in Jesus Christ alone, Jesus says to him, today when you die, he was about to die. He was only a few minutes away from death, the thief. Jesus says, today you shall be with me where? In paradise, not purgatory, in heaven. Now let me ask you one question. Did this thief join the church? No. Did he get baptized? No. Did he do any good works? No. Did he pray all these prayers that Ferna mentioned? With his beads or any other statue? Or recite any other prayers? No. What did he simply do? He simply confessed his sins to Jesus Christ. And that's all he could do. And Jesus looked at him and said, "Today, you'll be in heaven with me." And that's the gospel, isn't it? In a nutshell. Ferna spent many, many years trying to earn her way into heaven. Trying to work her way into heaven. And I meet people like that and they say, "You get to heaven by your good works." I always ask this question, how many? Is there a little thing on your phone, you know, you get an SMS saying, "Oh, doop, you've done 100% for this week. You've earned a day in heaven." Does God send you an SMS when you've done enough? No. Because the Bible makes it very clear, you don't get into heaven by your good works. In fact, the Bible says they're not even good anyway. Because without Jesus Christ in our life, all the things we do are tainted by our sin, by our wrong motives, by our selfishness. So God doesn't even recognize them as good. And what did Ferna discover in her life? That the Bible says you don't get to heaven by your good works. You only get to heaven by a good Savior. What did Jesus say? "I am the way." Not a way. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." No other way, no other person can get you to heaven. The dying thief found that out at the last minute. Thank God he found it. Thank God he found it. Ferna found it. Christian has found it. Have you found it? Have you found it? Or are you still trying to work your way to heaven? And there's no end to this. You'll spend, if you live for another 100 years on this earth, and you go to church every day, and you pray every day, and you give money to the poor every day, you won't get one inch closer to heaven. Not one inch. Because it's not of works. It's not of yourself, the Bible says. It's in Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's where you find peace and forgiveness. You know, when I go around the Philippines, I always say this. You see this written on the taxis. You know those taxis, they go on the motorbike ones and all, you see. Everywhere you see is John 3:16. What does John 3:16 say? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever goes to church, says the prayers." No, what's it say? "Whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but shall have" what? "Everlasting life." That's where you find the everlasting, that's where you find the forgiveness, in Jesus Christ alone. Alone. So are you trusting in him? If you're here today, maybe it's your first time here. I see we have some visitors. And you're trying to get to heaven by your good works. Here's what you have to do. Stop trying. Stop trying. Give up. Surrender. And come today to Jesus Christ. And say, "Lord, I'm tired of trying to earn my way to heaven. I know I am a sinner. And I want to come today to Jesus. And trust him alone to take away all of my sins." And praise God, you can have your sins forgiven today, free of charge. Now, it wasn't free because it cost God everything. It cost Jesus Christ everything. But for you, it's free to have your sins forgiven. Let us pray. As we pray, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, You've heard the testimony of Sister Ferna, and the voice of God has spoken to you. And you want to become a Christian. You want to have your sins forgiven. I invite you to pray this prayer after me. Just say these words. Say this: O God, I know I am a sinner. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn away from all of my sins. I believe that Jesus died to pay the price for all of my sins. I invite you now, Jesus, to come into my heart. Wash all my sins away. And give me everlasting life. I thank you now, Jesus, for washing away all of my sins and making me your child. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.